Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
It's so fun doing stand-up comedy. Such an easy endeavor that I appreciate. It's so flawlessly easy. Gotta record this for my mom because, you know, she's gotta see me fail. She gotta know her boy's struggling. This is so, like I was saying, so easy. I love doing it. It's so fun. Last time I was here, I ate so much shit. Oh, it was so, yeah, she remembers. Oh, so good. So good to be back. Ooh, God, thank you so much.
Can we forget about the things said when I was drunk?
Welcome to the Jordan Lear Program, JLP 72, UFC 72, Victory! I can name all the fucking old UFCs, man, for a while, from like UFC 60 to like 100 about, you know, they used to give them names. UFC 72 Victory, Franklin Okami. I knew Rich Franklin was on it off the top of my head, but I looked it up before I shot this. Fucking Forrest Griffin was on the card. I used to watch all that shit. That used to be my Saturday night, man. 72 Victory, 73 Stack, 74 Respect, 75 Champion versus Champion, 76 Knockout. When Keith Jardine beat Chuck Liddell, he didn't knock him out. Forrest Griffin beat Shogun Hua on that card, though. That has nothing to do with what I was going to talk about. This is probably not going to be called the Jordan Lear Program Victory. Thought about calling it Cabin Fever, maybe. It's fucking cold out there, man. Whoa! 0 degrees? You got no fucking degrees on the East Coast, huh? Zero fucking... I forgot to start this shit. This is from like 3 years ago, this podcast is playing behind me. Dude! Oh, I grew up on the East Coast, in the Midwest, you know, but in the Eastern time zone, in Michigan, and my fucking body never got used to this shit. It just didn't. It didn't. I was born out west. I lived there for 5 years before I moved out here, and I think that fucking thinned out my blood, because to this day, I don't have good circulation, and last winter was the first winter I'd been back, because, okay. I was born out west, lived there till I was five. Midwest is where I grew up and lived until I was 21. And then I lived in L.A. for 10 years. And I craved L.A. because I fucking... It's nice out there in the winter, you know? And I don't hate the winter. I don't hate the cold. But 0 degrees? Not a fucking degree in ya? Really? It's dangerous out there. It's not good for... And a lot of you fucking fatties that were fucking born into this shit next to a Monsanto field, your blood's fine. You fucking deflect all this shit. And fucking skinny Winnie Dinny over here, fucking tight pants gay boy fucking from Hollywood, you know. It's interesting. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's because I've lived, it's probably because I've lived in places for a while, but. I'm always from somewhere fucking else, you know. Like, obviously, you got to L.A., like, oh, you're from Michigan, fucking. And you come back, and it's like, oh, you're Hollywood, California, fucking. Or I don't know. Maybe it's an endearing thing. It's cold. Getting a little cabin fever. A little bit. But I'm pushing on, and I'm doing, what am I doing? I'm still like a little kid, like practicing my skills, you know. I'm trying to fucking, I don't know, learn a new guitar scale, you know. You're trying to learn a new guitar scale, maybe play a little flamenco guitar, trying to learn a little harmonica, you know. Kick around on the electric drum kit. Been doing a lot of things to keep the old noggin going. One thing I did start on this week. Started editing. I'm so fucking pumped about this. I'm sniffling because I took a giant weed hit, by the way. Let me just get one solid one out of the way so everyone can get past it. I smoke so much weed because I'm so nervous before I do this, and I didn't put on sunglasses like everyone else. It's like I can take a normal hit when I'm like in it, but whenever before. I'm like, I'll never do it again. I'm going to be strapped to this thing for an hour, and I don't know if I'm funny. I know I'm funny. Fucking hilarious. I started editing my first feature film. Jordan doubled down on the artistic creativity, you know. I'll play like the Hollywood game, you know, as an actor. I'll still go out for an audition if I get one. And I'm going to try to get, I'm going to go out. I'm going to get a new agent. I'm not with my one in L.A. anymore. But I'm fucking, it's just so lame, you know. And more than that, like, I've got dope ideas. I've always had ideas that I wanted to make way more than anything that I was auditioning for, you know. I mean, I wanted to be on Saved by the Bell and the fucking Varsity Blues reboot, all the shit, because I'm, like, fans of that shit. I want to be a Marvel character, and I still do. And I'm sure I will, because who else got a big dick like me? You know, that's what they're looking for. But I started making my first feature film, and I guess I'll just pitch it to you what the thing is. I'm making a film about me. Jesus Christ, the Jordan Lear program. It's me playing guitar, me doing stand up, me doing this, and that's what the film will be. It will be like a ridiculous feature film. Sci-fi even version of my life, and it's gonna be about me like making my first stand-up special, and it's gonna be like this fictional version of me. I don't know, every version of me feels fictional, every fucking in real life too, so I don't know what that is, but I'm gonna make a story and I'm gonna shoot it like documentary style. And I had this idea, I've been telling a lot of friends, I've been planning on doing this since this whole year, actually. I'd be 2023 and maybe even 2022 at the very beginning then. I think I came up with, it's going to be called Sex, Drugs, and Open Mics. You know, it's going to feel like a stand-up documentary, but it's going to be like a narrative. Anyways, I finally got this badass motherfucker. I got a new laptop, the first one in years. I think I covered some of this ground in my last podcast, but who cares? You can strap on. Anyways, I sat down and I made the inaugural edit, you know. Started making some cuts of a bunch of footage that I have, and I'm just fucking, you know, I'm just lining it together. And I know what most of the film is. Like, I wrote it. I wrote like 50 pages, like a long-ass outline. But it's a lot of like, I gotta shoot it and maybe reshoot it and formulate it. Started this week, and that feels good. I feel like I haven't felt this inspired since I started filmmaking. You know, like I learned film at Michigan State starting in 2008. And before then, I was like performing, but I thought the shit was fucking magic. Like, I had no idea how you could make your own shit. You know, I'm not like, you know, kids. It's crazy how much time has passed, how much stuff really does change. It's like my family members and stuff, my young ones I'm related to, like, they are like video editing on their phone, like 9-year-olds and like, you know, younger than that. I bet like, there's like 5-year-olds doing that shit. Holy shit, someone just went out the window out there. They got a cute dog. Oh, it's running in the snow. Oh, that's beautiful. There's some good things about winter. Anyways, start doing it, man. And yeah, I don't know, man. I just remember feeling so inspired. Like, back last time I bought my first Mac, and with all the Final Cut, and you get these ideas, and, you know, you sit down, and I've got a bunch of scripts, you know, I've been writing, like, I consistently write features and pilots, like, constantly. It consumes me. And I don't know, there's just part, I've always had this ability. I guess it's more on the feature side that it intrigues me. Because whenever I moved out to LA, I was still making shorts. And I was still making sketches. I'm just thinking this through as I'm saying this. And I was still making shorts and sketches. And then I was writing a feature. And I think, you know, the idea of, like, making my own feature just seemed too much financially to come up with it. But also too much, like, you're not going to get enough out of it. Which still might be a fucking curse. I might just post this on YouTube for fucking no views. But I don't know, I was trying to go about it, the studio system, like, the right way. And hey, man, if I can crack into that and, you know, make a deal with a studio, that'd be cool. It comes with compromises, with which this does not at all. This is like all mine. I make it exactly the way I want to make it, you know, and I can take as long as I want to work on it. And this idea I've come up with, not only is it like something I can do myself, it's like it's essential to the how it's going to come out, is that I like make it pretty much all myself. I'll be getting a little help here, getting some camera help here and there, but like I will shoot a lot of it myself. I don't know. And I'm going to do all the edits. I'm going to do all the music, you know, and it's got to be badass. So stay tuned for the next 2 fucking years. I bet it'll take 2. I don't know. Technically, I started shooting it last year, like even last May. Is that right? Yeah. April, May, whenever it was in New York. And going to spend the next year shooting it. I bet I can shoot all of it this year. I bet I can shoot it all this year. Edit it. Yeah, I'll probably have it done by next year. Who knows? I'm going to try to keep doing this every week. I'm trying to make these fucking episodes not so fucking long. Stay tuned. Do your fucking, do your cabin fever shit, you know, in this weather, this goddamn weather. Oh, I'm learning the Phrygian scale. See, if you listen to my shit, all the music I add on here, I play the same scale for the most part, and I don't even know if I'm calling it the right thing, because I'm just not a music math guy, music theory. But it's like the A major pentatonic scale, or the major pentatonic scale, and I switch it up with E. I don't know, I always rip some E minor and do this like blues scale. I play the same thing. And it's great, and I feel like I'm pretty high at dancing around on it, man. But I'd like to grow. I'd like to expand the skill set. And I looked up. I was like, what goes good with some flamenco, some Spanish tune, you know, real minor. And it came up what did it call? It's the Phrygian mode. Fuck, man. Dude, I'm not going to blame you if you tap out, but I'm going to talk about this, okay? I tried learning all these scales and modes years ago, man. You pick up the guitar and you pick up anything, and the problem is you try learning everything, you know? You're like, I'm going to learn how to read music, and I'm going to have my form perfect, and I'm going to know every chord, and it's like, you're never going to do that. No one does that. All the best guitarists in the world, you know, I mean, some of them know that shit, and there are some fucking geniuses, but, dude, I excelled by picking one pattern, and I memorized the fuck out of it, and I jammed, and I jammed in variations of that, and I branch out a little bit, but pretty much stuck inside that box, and I'm ready to branch out a little bit, you know? Like, there's like 13 different fucking modes. I don't know. I remember spending a month looking at the Guitar World issue once, trying to flip through all these scales, and I didn't... You know, most musicians don't, like, read music. You know, most musicians you see on stage jamming out, most of them, they count, you know, and I'm not saying they can't read music. I can read music. Give me a second. I mean, give me a second to maybe memorize it, but I know the half step, fucking scale, whatever. I played a little trombone in band. But the point is, Eddie Van Halen wasn't standing in front of a fucking sheet music. The guy would play for hours out of feel and his head. And it's practice, and I don't know where I was going with that. I do know where I was going with that. I'm learning my scale, and every girl that ever broke my heart is gonna fucking feel sad, isn't she? Because she knows I know flamenco guitar. Yeah, right. I think my current girlfriend's pussy goes to get so wet. Alright. Is that what I want to say? That's enough. Bullshit. Tyson Griffin fought at that UFC 72 card too. Remember him? That's cool. So Forrest Griffin. Thank you. It's time now for sponsors. Hey, big news in the Jordan Lear program. Number one, thank you to everyone who's liked and subscribed out there. You know, you hit the like button, you subscribe Jordan Lear, you subscribe to Jordan Lear with two E's, not that fucking whoever the wrestler Jordan Lear with an A is. When, dude, fuck you, this isn't about you. There's a few other Jordan Lears I'm seeing when I Google my name. I don't like it. Get that shit the fuck out of here. I've been here. I've been online sharing dick pics for years, bitch, and I didn't do it for nothing. So if you think your name's going to be Jordan Lear or Lair or some sort of fucking variation, and you're going to try putting out good comedy, you can just go fuck yourself. Get off the internet. Anyways, I was celebrating. The likers and the subscribers, you can subscribe to the Patreon as well. It only costs a dollar. Flip me a buck. You get access to my private Instagram, the one where I share dick pics on. I don't want that to go as false advertising. I'm not really sharing dick pics on there. But if one leaks out, it's... okay. Oh, yeah, I have sponsors. Dude, I had 1 million subscribers as of right now. I just got 1 million subscribers. And I got sponsors coming in now. So I got to read off... This is fucking hard. I've never done sponsors before. This is cool, man. I just read it, I guess. Okay, this is from first sponsor ever of the Jordan Lear program. Big Dicks Unlimited. Okay. I think that it was from the men's rights activists. They just wanted to let everyone know that they still got big dicks, you know? Okay, alrighty. Good, good. A lot of toxic masculinity. You got... People are kind of afraid of having a big wanker anymore. Big Dicks Unlimited, thank you for sending it in. I'll share a picture of mine later on my private Instagram. It's a joke. Or is it? Second sponsor ever on the Jordan Lear program. Brought to you by Vaginas Closed for Business. Alrighty. I think it's a public service announcement from the ladies. 2024, they won't be your haul. Okay. And third sponsor. This is great, man. This feels good. It feels like it's breaking it up a little bit, too. Third sponsor ever on the Jordan Lear program. Brought to you by Butthole. Go for it if you're brave. You know, fellas, sometimes the one hole gets shut down for a variety of reasons, okay? And two opens up. I'm going to be more selective with my sponsors going forward. You know, they also didn't offer me any money. They just wrote this shit down. And how are we going to fucking eat tonight? Wolverine and The Rock and Mikey and Stone Cold and all my fucking deal. You know, I hate how every podcast they wear sunglasses, number one. And they also have all their toys up here. But mine are cool, so fuck you, okay? And I hate everyone's wearing hats, too. Well, fuck you. I like mine. Girl got that for me, too. All right. That was great. That was a great segment. That was a great fan question segment. Have anything else in here? What's that? No, I'm done. Oh, fucking... Yeah, fan questions. Thank you to the fans, man. Like I was saying, man. Thanks for those 1 million subscribers. Okay. First question. Sorry. All right. Fan questions. First question, this comes from Jay Floyd. Is this a 12-step program? Woo! It will be. That's when I'll get the most hits. Everyone has... a lot of people get from real pop-off whenever it says why I quit drinking or why I fucking decided to stop masturbating or when did I quit fucking... The moment I decide to quit smoking crack, you know, and I'll wait for mine. I'll get my episode in there. is this a 12-step program? You know, I came up with the Jordan Lear program. Number one, I don't think anyone's used that, like, sort of thing on their, you know, the Jordan Lear show, the Jordan Lear, oh, the Jordan Lear experience, you know. Joe Rogan got that from Jimi Hendrix. And I got no, I like, whatever, even if you're going to call your thing the Jordan Lear show or, wait, what other variation? The Jordan Lear podcast, that was an option. But I went with the Jordan Lear program because it feels like programming. Like I like doing the stand-up clip at the beginning and then the music and then the drawing of the slate and then I do it. You know, so it's like part of the program, like hit those marks, you know, music, stand-up, and then just long-form bullshitting. Podcast is just a fine term for it, but this art of whatever you're trying to do, I don't know if this is an art, but I think it's mostly long-form bullshitting. Anyways, that's my program, and I don't know. I always feel like my program is the things I'm watching and the things I'm, like, intaking and the things I'm doing, you know? So, like, exercise, play music, play a card game, whatever. Everyone's got their program. This is mine. This is I fucking watch movies and TV and do this shit. Okay. Let's see. This is from Mike. It's on my YouTube. It says, most of the people who haven't commented won't on here, but are delivering it to you personally instead. Thank you, Mike. I guess. Yeah, you're right. My girlfriend and my mom tell me that I'm hilarious and I'm so talented. And why isn't Hollywood fucking calling more? Okay. Dr. NL. What the hell does he mean you're not funny? Your response was hilarious. Oh, that was to the other one. I had last podcast. Some guy said, you're just not funny. And this guy was like, you're hilarious to my response that I said, because I was like, well, how dare you fuck? I did this joke about, you know, you can't just not tell me I'm funny. You got to give me advice on how to be funny. I was being a dick. That guy, that was funny. Hey, man, thanks. You get it. It's funny. Okay. I had a couple from my buddy Lee. Lee, we went to school together, man. Actually, we didn't, like, go to the same time. He's a little older than me. But, like, the same town. I don't know. Just like a year. Everyone knows everyone. He said, I love you're putting people on blast for not following. Yeah, when I was going off about my, I don't know, whoever I watch and stuff and that doesn't click like and subscribe, you watch it for, I don't know, a lot of people send me reels of other comics. And I'm half joking, I'm half so serious when I get fucking crazy mad about that shit. Because, dude, also, I get it, man. And I kind of hate being the fucking, I hate saying like and subscribe. I hate being the guy that's like, please watch me! Please, and getting mad that people don't, because it's like everyone's got lives, you got your own shit. Most of the people that aren't subscribed to me that I wish they are, like, I'm sure they would if it was just like, just doesn't even occur to them. They're just like kind of flipping through. It's not like, you know. So I'm happy anyone ever watches it. I'm happy to watch for a second shit on it, honestly. Just turn around and use it for something funny. So thanks always for Lee. He, I don't know, he always gets my vibe, man. I'm having fun when I put people on blast. Also, you know, speaking for my soul. He also said he noticed more accountability in the podcast. Well, I'm trying, man. I'm trying. That's really nice of him to say. And I'm trying to. That's what it's all about. Because I always thought I was super talented. I always thought my ideas were fucking great. And it's just up to me to just fuck off and do drugs and have sex instead. No, but it's not. It is up to me. He also said nice solo. He's a bunch of cool stuff. He always watches my stuff. Appreciate it, Lee, man. Dude. The people that watch my shit, it's like I understand that I'm going for a thing that is niche. You know? And I don't want everyone to, like, love my comedy. that would be the whole... That would be so against what I was ever trying to fucking do, because I don't like comedy in the movies. But, I dig it. Thanks for the fan questions. Alright. Take a quick breather. We're rolling. Segment initiate launch. All right, time for the program. This is everything I watched and consumed, read, fucking jerked off to, what I did this week. Movies. Watched After Earth, Will Smith and Jaden Smith, a space movie shit. I barely paid attention. I think I edited my last podcast while I did it, but it looked cool. It was kind of... I thought Will's acting was bad. Jaden's was good. Will Smith is great. I love Will. The slap only enhanced his career, in my opinion. Okay, I gotta keep it moving. Deadpool. My girlfriend's never seen the Marvel movies. Or no. There's a bunch that she hasn't seen. And she loves the action, sci-fi, superhero, adventure genre. And so I'm like, you haven't seen the fucking hits? So we watch Deadpool, Spider-Man Far From Home. Spider-Man No Way Home, Deadpool 2, Logan. What? I'm acting like I made these movies. Deadpool's amazing. It's so funny. And it really... Deadpool and Deadpool 2, the way they hit, man. It's like, it's so fun. Deadpool 2 with the... It's like there's... Okay, spoiler alert for all these fucking movies. His fucking girlfriend, wife, dies. And then it goes into Celine Dion. Like epic credit sequence, and it's funny, and it's like you're actually crying. And Logan, man, that's one of the greatest comic book movies of all time. Fucking X-23, oh, that's so bad. It's just funny. It's what you want a superhero movie to be. It, you know, you want to be like, yeah, and then ha 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 ha. I also watched The Midnight Sky with George Clooney. Hey. I don't know why everyone shits on him for Batman and Robin, because George Clooney makes a lot of movies that kind of suck, you know? Batman and Robin is great, by the way. I love that fucking movie. The Midnight Sky is about space. It doesn't suck. I don't say it sucks, but I barely could. It didn't hold me. And then today I took a nap while writing, watching Mortal Kombat Legends cage match. Johnny Cage, little animated movie. I don't know. It was enjoyable enough to take a nap to, I'll tell you that. On TV, I watched Superman, the animated series from the late 90s. Man, that's great. Everyone hypes up Batman, and Batman's great. I'm not going to say Superman's better, but, dude, that Superman animated series is fucking beautiful, and it's not like some dumb just-for-kids shit. Like, it's like... really good, and it gets my sci-fi, you know, alien stuff. Every episode with Metallo is fucking badass. That's all I'll say. Okay, and then I watched True Detective Night Country. Are you watching? Are you watching True Detective Night Country? Jodie Foster playing a detective? Oh, a little callback to Silence of the Lambs. True Detective, that first season, I always say... That first season with McConaughey and Woody Harrelson is one of my favorite pieces of television ever. It's amazing. It's like one big film, really. And season two, with every season is more or less its own contained storyline. It definitely is. They're connected in their own way, but they have a different cast of characters, different location. season two with different people sucked. Vince Vaughn, Taylor Kitsch, and Rachel McAdams. Not to say they're bad actors, but it sucked. Season three was very good with Stephen Dorff, and Mahershala Ali. That was back on track. And Scoop McNairy. So you don't know. Season four takes place in Alaska. Just one episode in. Badass. You know? It doesn't like... I'm not unhinged the way I was at the fucking first season, but it's pretty good. I'm glad. I'm happy about that. We'll see where that goes. Oh, and the chick with Jodie Foster, the other detective. It's cool that they simplified it. It's like two, and it's two women. It's, you know, it's a little different. Callie Reese, her acting's pretty good, man. She's sitting in the pocket, being chill, just mostly doing her actions. She's reacting. And looked it up. Started acting recently, and she's a professional boxer. Fuck yeah. She looks like a badass. Acting's hard, but there's some shit, especially on TV and movies, man. If you have some experience being a badass and in front of people, it fucking goes a long way. You can get framed up, man. So, interested to see some more acting of her. I hope she keeps acting. And then, okay, I watched the Critics' Choice Awards. It's Illuminati season, dude. I love it. Illuminati, they just did the Golden Globes, and now they have the Critics' Choice and the Emmys. Right around, they have the national championship for football, for college football, and it's playoff football now, leading up to the Super Bowl before Oscars. It's super Illuminati season, and I like it, man. I wish they would let me in. Please let me in, Illuminati. Good God. I'm based out of New York now. Come on now. Epstein was in New York. Why can't I fucking get a... You know, you don't got to just be in L.A. to get sold out. Anyways, you fuckers. I love the award shows. And Critics' Choice Awards, I sat down and watched, and they pretty much give out the same awards they do for Golden Globes. I mean, it's the same people getting them, you know, because the same nominations. And I used to shit on the Critics' Choice. I used to poo-poo it because it just seemed lame. It seemed like some made-up thing that they were shoving in there because most awards, I think, are rigged anyways. And that's fine. That's cool. But I like to know what I'm getting into. And at least there's some hierarchy to Golden Globes sets the tone. And then Oscars is the one you want. And then there's SAG Awards voted on by the actors. But then I looked up and the critics' choices are actually voted on by the critics, which I thought it was just like bullshit, like a name they called it. But it's actually, they have everyone listed and they're all from, you know, pretty notable news outlets, whether it be their fucking YouTube or where they do movie reviews, you know, People Magazine, Vanity Fair, Hollywood Reporter, New York Times, you know, all the big, there's like 600 at least. So that made me think. All right. They're still all sheep. I'm sure plenty are bought off. A lot of them don't even watch the shit, the nominations, but I did like that. What happened at the Critics' Choice Awards? That was so fucking interesting. I guess if Paul Giamatti won for Best Actor, man, because he won for the Golden Globes, too, so maybe he'll get it, man. That'd be cool, because he's a really good actor. He was in... His good roles were in Sideways and The Contender, that Russell Crowe, is that what it's called? Yeah, The Contender? Yeah. And some other stuff, but he's also the blue guy in fucking, is it Agent Cody Banks or fucking the Frankie Muniz movie? I know I'm saying the fucking name wrong. Someone's screaming at me where he's blue. Fucking Paul G, I don't know. The blue guy might win Best Actor this year, and that's fun. And Barbie, though, is getting most of the jokes and love and celebration for the cinema, is mostly getting undercut by Oppenheimer and, I don't know if undercut's the right word, mostly getting surpassed by Oppenheimer and Poor Things. I got to see that. Emma Stone picking up some hardware. So that was fun. And then I watched the Emmys. They did back-to-back nights. Dude, the Emmys and the Critics' Choice, they both have TV. And Ali Wong, she's won. She won the Golden Globes. She's, I don't know. She, you know, it's three fucking awards now. And she's awesome. It's for acting, so she feels like extra cool shit. It's even better than stand up. It's funny. A stand up comedian would much rather win the award for acting. Much rather. It's just you're higher up in the Illuminati that way. An actor would far and away. No, I was saying a stand up would want to win an acting award. But actors all wish they could do stand-up, for sure. I think if they did it once, they'd never want to do it again, though. Certainly if it was taped and broadcast in front of people. But she won, and she's dating Bill Hader now, I guess. And it's just, she's sitting right next to him, and they kiss every time her name gets announced. And it's just a little too, you know. It's just a little too planned. It's just a little too on cue. Ali Wong and then framed up kiss. It's like, everyone know we're dating. It's like, we know. We see. I don't know. Maybe. That's what I'd do. I'd kiss Bill Hader too. I don't know. I still don't know why Bill Hader didn't kiss Steven Yeun. That's what I would have done. That would have been the fucking move. All right. That was the Emmys. Oh, Paul. A guy that I've interacted with. I'd say I know, but I've met him before and I sang a Backstreet Boys song with him, and I doubt he remembers me. But this dude that is a comedian and used to work, he's an actor, comedian. He's all sorts of fucking things. Really talented. Paul Walter Hauser. He won for Blackbird, the Taron Egerton show. Oh, dude, it's cool because he's catapulted to superstardom. To me, it's superstardom. I'm sure he, you know, sees more goals in the future, but he's worked with Spike Lee and Clint Eastwood, and he's won a Golden Globe and now an Emmy. The dude is a bad motherfucker, and it's cool because I used to see him working at Flapper's Comedy Club, and he was cool. He was chill, man, like really nice, helpful, and funny, like in real life funny. And he had done a lot of stand-up. He wasn't doing a bunch of it when I met him. He was working there. It was a job. And he was, because he was busy with acting and other shit. But, dude, I don't know. It's cool. It makes it seem a little more tangible because, dude, I do think a lot of awards are a little fucking funny. You don't want a lot after. But it's, you know, if you're invited to that shit, it means you've broke through to some Illuminati shit. I just want in the Illuminati. Ah. I don't think it's a measure of your art being good or not. I don't, but I want to go. I won't get too drunk. I swear. Books. I am still reading Oil. I'm going to fucking finish Oil tomorrow. Maybe tonight, probably tomorrow. That is a good book. Making me learn way too much about class, society, and fucking war and natural resources. Anyways, I watched a stand-up special again. I watched Mike Birbiglia, The Old Man in the Pool, which I almost saw in New York because it was playing at the Lincoln Center. It was like when you go down to look at Broadway tickets, it was listed there. And it's just like one-man show, and it's, you know, Mike Birbiglia. If you're like a big SNL fan, you might know him. He's kind of fringe in that respect. He's a big comic, but his kind of thing is that he's fringe too. And I didn't think it was funny. It's just not funny. I'm not going to say it was bad. It wasn't offended by anything at all in the least. I mean, I thought it was fine. I just wasn't. I like the title, you know? This is like The Old Man in the Sea. Fucking Moby Dick. But I just didn't think it was fun. I don't know, man. I need some more hardcore topics. I just need... It needs to be immature or punching down or something about some tragic. You know, I don't do well with, you know, menial whatever humor, like, oh, I'm kind of embarrassed in this situation. Oh no, I'm getting older. And I'm sure shit's more deep than that. I don't want to fucking, I'm just giving my critique. This is my critic's fucking choice award. I only give it to Dave Chappelle. You gotta make fun of trans people or people in a wheelchair. That's a joke.
And then I watched some documentaries this week. I watched Race to the Summit and The Deepest Breath. Dude, Race to the Summit's about mountain climbing. Deepest Breath's about deep sea diving. I love documentaries where people almost die. In fact, I love documentaries where people die. Spoiler alert, someone dies in both of these. And it's great, dude. When you're watching a mountain documentary and they're talking about the climber a lot, but the climber isn't doing interviews himself, you're like, oh, this is a good one. Yeah, he's going to die. And that's what Race to the Summit was. It was about these guys, you know, free, doing pretty much that free solo thing, but like on ice type shit. And, fuck, they're, I don't know, a rivalry ensued, and they tried pushing each other's limits, and obviously someone is going to die. I also watched The Deepest Breath. People straight up competition, fucking going down, and as far as they can go, like 4 minutes at a time, 100 meters, or how far it is. Fuck, dude. Of course someone's going to die from that. Had a good twist, though. They had interviews with a person for a while, and I thought their spouse was going to die, but then at the end, they had an interview with the spouse that lived, and the other person died. Oh, I started watching Working, What We Do All Day on Netflix. I don't know. I just kind of put it on. Try to like break it up by watching a doc now and then. Some episodic thing. It's just like it's someone fucking driving Uber and then someone working at some office. And it's like, it made me feel like, I think most people are so dumb. Like no one knows what people do at jobs. Because I know, because I've done them. They're bad. I was like, I don't need to fucking just watch that. There's no twist on it. I needed someone that was going to die. I needed them to be like, oh, this person hung himself. So. Okay. And then done something better, but I'm not going to. Who gives a shit? Old jacket, green jacket. That's been the program. I think it was really good. You're welcome. Amen.
On Sarah Michelle Gellar, actually. And I just don't know how to Sarah Michelle tell her. Hey, maybe I'm a bad comic. Maybe I'm just a bad one, huh? Yeah, I got a 42. I got a Jackie Robinson seconds left to do the old, thank you.
Thank you.